show powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm your host, William Liu, and I'm joined by producer and co-host Alex Wong. Alex, what's going on, man? I saw a lot of you yesterday.
Yeah, I saw a lot of you. We were at two basketball events, the Raptors Republic 3-on-3 tournament. Shouts to the 70 or so people who joined in on the Instagram live stream to watch Will Liu. We will recap that later on at 2:45 p.m. We've got CPA Clay Thompson, a.k.a. Asad Alvi, joining us. So we'll give you the last 10 minutes to be really self-serving and finally talk about your basketball game and then never again. But first, the second most important basketball event that I attended yesterday was Raptors-Celtics. The Raptors returned home after 2 weeks away. Six-game road trip where they went 2-4, and they opened their seven-game homestand with a 109-97 loss to the Boston Celtics. Yep. So I'm going to read off some of these numbers. I'm sorry, you know.
No, go ahead, man.
They're now 9-12 overall, 3-9 since starting 6-3 on the season. They fall to 2-7 at home. Okay. Just not a good basketball product right now at Scotiabank Arena is all I'm saying.
2-7 at home is unspeakably bad. And I think it was just a tough night all around in terms of it was a frustrating viewing experience because the Raptors were in the game for like the first three quarters, right? They were within, you know, a few baskets. Yeah, they went down about 10-ish, but then they came back. They briefly took the lead, like 1 or 2 points. And then it was just sort of like, can they sustain this and make the last push? And they couldn't. The Celtics made the last push. The Raptors had no comeback for that. And the Celtics just kind of walked away. And to me, when I was watching this whole game, I was thinking, wow, the Celtics look bad. Jason Tatum is shooting 2 of 16. Jaylen Brown's giving them 16 points, right? These guys can give you 30 on any given night. Those guys are having off nights. Not really that afraid of who the Celtics are bringing off the bench, quite honestly. So the Raptors should be able to take this because they're not even playing that hard. And yet, the Raptors lose by 12. And, of course, injuries factor into that. But, you know, I think there's just also a lack of quality with some of the guys right now when you look at who they were playing. I mean, it was a G League showcase out there.
Yeah, it was a Justin Champagne showcase.
Yeah, he was playing. Bonga was playing. Flynn was playing. Banton was playing.
Like, everybody played except for Chris Boucher.
That should be a great starting five for the 905.
Well, out yesterday was OG Anunoby, Kem Birch, and Gary Trent Jr., which you could basically say they were missing three starters.
Yeah, that's fair. Although, by the way, the updates on that is not strong. Nick Nurse said at practice that OG was held out once again and that they had an additional MRI scan and there is no positive progress on that front. I don't think there's any negative progress, but to be honest, who knows?
Can we just get an honest answer on the injuries? Because first it was he's out for a while.
Yes.
Then he made it back on the injury list as questionable on the road trip.
Yeah.
And now apparently he's still a bit away maybe?
Yes. Which would make sense, by the way. If you just took away the idea that, okay, he was questionable for a little bit, a hip pointer takes about 3 weeks. It's only been like about a week and a half. So that one makes sense to me that he would still be out. Gary was held out of practice. He's got a calf injury. We just saw Utah miss 6 weeks with a calf injury. And then Kem Birch's knee continues to swell, and he's not practicing. And so, yeah, it's tough. We might be without those guys for a minute.
Yeah, not a doctor. Sorry, Dad. But it sounds like when you have right knee swelling, you need the swelling to go away first, and that might take a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and they miss Kem. They miss all these guys. But I think one of the things as we're hitting the quarterly mark of the season is as much as we do keep talking about injuries and the fact that they haven't had a fully healthy roster, I think the frustration with a game like yesterday comes from the fact that none of the other guys who had an opportunity to play more stepped up.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like I always think about NBA careers are much shorter than you would expect. A lot of players come into this league, they don't even get a chance to get any minutes. When they get some minutes, they're kind of inconsequential and you know, the opportunity just kind of passes them by. Players come in and out of this league all the time. And so when you get some rare chances to play for a long extended stretch, like hopefully you take that opportunity. And so on that front, I'm just like, you know, seeing Bonga come in and play 11 minutes. I know Bonga's been in the league. He's been drafted before. Like, you know, he has, you know, some credibility in this league, but also at the same time, he signed for a minimum deal this year with the Raptors. He played in the G League for the Raptors now. When you come in and have 11 minutes because you took Chris Boucher's spot, when Chris Boucher, by the way, has just been really, really bad this season, Nick Nurse said, I've had enough. right? It's my rotation today is Champagne buddy, but Boucher, because he was literally playing Champagne as well. And if you have this opportunity, come in and try to make an impression. And I don't think that any of those bench guys did. I mean, I hate saying this, but in the Pacers game, the Raptors bench got matched in scoring by Keylon Martin. Did you know who Keylon Martin was before?
No, I don't know who that guy is. I don't have his number.
No.
I don't know his number.
I don't know. You were playing who we play for.
Exactly.
On a Saturday edition.
I would have been like, what sport is that?
Yeah.
What sport is that? But you mentioned they got outscored by him. The entire bench got outscored by a single person in the loss to Indiana. And yesterday, like, for all we talk about, the Celtics aren't a really good team. And I agree with you. And the guys that they're bringing off the bench yesterday was Enes Kanter, Peyton Pritchard, Josh Richardson, and Romeo Langford.
They torched the Raptors.
Josh Richardson outscored with 18 points, outscored the entire Raptors bench yesterday.
Even Enes Kanter with 9 and 10.
The Raptors entire bench scored 13 points, which somehow was worse than the 15 points that they scored on Friday in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about Isaac Bonga, talk about Champagne played 7 minutes.
Yeah. Even our guy, Utah, man, listen, you know this is the most Utah-friendly program in North America. Maybe not in the world.
No,
shout
out to Kashi.
Some Japanese programs that are more Utah-friendly than
for
us.
For sure.
But even Utah was missing some key shots, right? Like, Utah got a chance to play. I thought out of all the bench guys, he played the most productively.
Plus 15 in 14 minutes.
Yeah.
He was on a minutes restriction, by the way.
What kind of minutes restriction is 14 minutes?
I don't know, but Nick was playing him 2 minutes at a time. It was like hockey shifts yesterday in the first half.
You were mentioning, you were like, how many times have I heard checking into the game, Utah Watanabe? You said it was like 6 times in the first half.
Nick Nurse was coaching like this was game 6 against the Boston Celtics in the bubble with obviously a lesser roster. Like, you saw the subs he was making like at the end of quarters. Yeah. He was trying to maximize every single possession.
Yeah.
That's how desperate the Raptors are right now, I think, to win. And I can't get into Nick's head, but my thing is they've got this 7-game homestand.
Mm-hmm.
They only played 3 times on the road in the entire December.
Yep.
So from a schedule standpoint, you can say, hey, this is where they can turn it around. But if you're not a good team, it doesn't matter what your schedule is.
Well, this is why it's kind of like make or break right now.
It is.
Make or break.
Yeah, we're about to have a conversation about tanking on January 1st, baby.
I hate that you were right about it.
I'm always right. No, that's not true. No, but yeah, so let's go through some of these players and spotlight some of these from yesterday. And I thought because they've reached the quarterly mark, maybe as we talk about these players, we can give out a grade to them. A grade for how they've done the first quarter of the season.
Let's
start with Scotty Barnes because Scotty was benched 94 seconds into the game yesterday. Before we talk about the rest of his performance, do you want to talk about what you saw with that benching?
Okay, so first off, I realized in watching this game back that that wasn't shown on the broadcast. So it must have been very confusing. But obviously we were there live, so we were able to see the full action. What happened was the Celtics scored. He was collecting the ball, quick inbounded, which is good. Quick inbounding is good, right? But he did so in a very nonchalant way where he took the ball out of bounds, threw it behind his back pass, no look, and it went straight to Grant Williams. Now, he blocked Grant Williams at the rim, which was great, but at the same time, you just can't have that in any level of basketball. Okay, so Nick benches him. Plus, he had a turnover right before that. So he benches him for Utah. Now, the thing is, he obviously continued to play because there's no way you're going to bench Scotty. In fact, Scotty played 21 minutes out of the 24 minutes in the second half last night. But Nick talked about it. Scotty talked about it. I think Scotty responded very strongly to it. You know, he was very mature about understanding what it was. And he says, like, look, Nick took me out to get refocused. And that's exactly what he needed to be. Because if you're throwing behind the back, no look inbound passes directly to the opponent, that's a lack of focus, right? And so he came back, refocused, was much stronger in the second half. And then Nick also said, look, I think I didn't need to say anything additionally to him. The benching kind of spoke for itself at that point. So that's clearly a temporary thing, and I'm happy, you know, Scotty responding strongly to it. Other than that, I think Scotty has to be an A+. Like, he's probably the only, well, maybe not the only A+, but
him and Fred maybe. We'll talk about Fred later, though.
Yeah.
So let's grade Scotty for now. You're going to give him an A+.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Did anyone see this coming? Like, he's been awesome.
With Evan Mobley hurt, he's a leading Rookie of the Year candidate.
Yes. Yes, he is. That's a tough race, though, honestly. There's been a very talented incoming rookie class. I think Cade is starting to build some momentum, too. But the way Scotty's playing and the fact that the Raptors need him to play, like, 40 minutes a night, like, that was the concern. Maybe Scotty's not going to play as much for a winning team. Well, it's not a winning team right now. They're 9 and 12. They're also like 3-9 in the last 12 games or something like that. So he's going to have to play. And also just based on the quality of players they have available, Scotty's going to play for like close to 40 minutes. And so that's going to allow him to put up some of the stats that would need that you would need to get into that rookie of year race. So, yeah.
Yeah, strangely, it's the defense that needs to be better for him.
That's the whole team.
No, that's fair.
That's the whole team.
No, that's fair. So Scotty ended up playing 37 minutes, finished with 21 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block.
Yep.
And most notably, he made 4 3-pointers. Mm-hmm. And maybe even more notably, he attempted 9. So 4 of 9 from 3. And you mentioned Nick was asked about giving Scotty a quick hook in the first quarter after the game. And he said, quote, "You saw it. I don't need to tell you what I saw. You saw it and you know why I took him out. Take him out, get him refocused, go back in." And he played fine from there. Scotty said, quote, "I started slow, quick 2 turnovers, bad turnovers. It was really nothing. Come back in the game, try to play hard, play better, play smarter, lock in, be more focused. It was a good thing to do." So it seems like Nick's message for Scotty to shoot more threes is working.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think first off, even just the response to come back strongly from that game and to have the impact that he did, and I thought he was Raptors' best player in the second half, that shows a maturity with Scotty. That's a coachability with him. He's willing to do a lot of things. Like, for example, last night he was asked to guard Al Horford quite a bit because the Raptors didn't have a backup center. So he started playing some center, and he did a pretty good job against Horford. You know, and look, Horford's old, but he's still an effective player. Like, I would love to have Al Horford on this team, for example. But, yeah, Scotty's just a very coachable guy. You ask him to shoot more threes, he's going to do it. And, honestly, last night the Celtics kind of played way back of the Raptors. That's something that the Raptors are going to run into with a lot of smarter teams. It's just they don't have a lot of shooting in the front court. So teams are going to sit their defenders back and clog the lane. And so when Pascal tries to drive, when Fred tries to drive, they're going to hone in on those guys because they know like a lot of these other guys can't score on the team. And Scotty's that one exception where he can score. He can give you you know, offense. He can generate it for himself. But also, more importantly, as with any successful player in the NBA nowadays, you really need to be able to knock down the three as well. So playoff ball, guys are going to help off Scotty, and Scotty's going to need to punish them for that. And one way to do that is if he continues to knock down threes. I don't expect him to take 9 threes a game. That's ridiculous. I don't think he's that level of shooter yet. But at the same time, I like to see his confidence building right now.
Yeah. So A-plus for Scotty Barnes, first quarter of the season.
Yeah, has to be. A-plus.
And next up, Fred VanVleet, 40 minutes yesterday. The minutes leader in the NBA. It's really not fair to Fred. They got to put him like in a hyperbaric chamber on off days just to be an almost 500 team. But that's just the situation facing the Raptors right now. 27 points, 5 threes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they were pretty good when Fred and to an extent when Pascal was out there. But once you take Fred off the floor, they are scrambling.
Yeah. No. They need all 40 of those minutes from Fred. I mean, honestly, Fred has also surpassed expectations for me. I would say that coming into the season, I need to see him do more of his own scoring. You know, obviously playing now as the only point guard and the only creator in the lineup a lot of these games, like, you know, without Kyle beside him, like, I think he does need to sort of create more for himself. He's done a pretty good job of that. He's improved the mid-range game. His finishing is still what it is, but, you know, I wouldn't say that that's something that's holding the Raptors back, specifically as Fred's finishing. His defense continues to be strong. He's playing 40 minutes a night. His leadership is good. The only thing I would say is I still want to see him create a little bit more for others. You know, I still want to see that part. And so that's the reason I'm giving him A and not A+. But that's also just me trying to look for other things that Fred can do better. But Fred is playing out of his mind. Like, he's right now he's the first option for the Raptors, which is not a good sign because the Raptors really shouldn't be. No team should really be using Fred as the first option. But he's still mostly, like, doing okay in that role. Like, we've seen him perform so well in fourth quarters as well. And, yeah, he's, like, the least of the Raptors' problems. So I'm giving him an A only because there's still small room to improve in terms of playing a little quicker and with the passing.
Let's agree that we're only going to give Scotty and Fred A's because I don't think there's anyone else. And also because I don't know if you remember, and people who might have, you know, checked out our work before.
Oh, no.
We did a report card for the Tampa Raptors last season. And somehow when we went through all the players, they all got like B pluses or better. So we're not doing that today.
Like DeAndre Bembry. Yeah, that's
A-. That's like a B plus, you know? Yeah, he was kind of cool, you know? No, so those are the two A's, I think. And I'm with you. Like, as important as Fred is to this team,
mm-hmm.
You cannot be grinding it out and needing him on the floor for 40 minutes every night during the regular season. That's just not sustainable. Yeah. He's going to break down.
As you always say, his joints are screaming yabba dabba doo.
He needs a DMP like I need a DMP every week. Two this week.
Yeah, two coming up.
Two coming up. Back to back DMP, producer's decision. But yeah, I mean, Fred has surpassed, you know, expectations. And I think it's really cool that he's continued to develop as a player. And we're going to see if he can make this all-star push. It's going to be tough, though, if the Raptors keep falling in the standings.
Yep.
And I know we're not really looking. I mean, I don't really look at the standings until, I don't know, January, February. But the Raptors are only one of four teams right now in the East below 500. It's a very competitive Eastern Conference. They're by no means out of the top six or the play-in because everybody is bunched up. But right now there's only three teams with worse records than the Raptors, and they are Indiana, who arguably is, you know, the other most disappointing team this season in the East.
They're super banged up, too.
Yeah, and then Detroit and Orlando, two teams that are on a clear rebuilding path. Yeah. So we came into the season saying, hey, the Raptors are going to be in this mix with the Chicagos, with the Washingtons, with the New Yorks. Right now, they're at the very bottom of that list.
Yeah.
So, and then the reality is they deserve to be there, given their play.
Yeah.
Do you think the Raptors could win three in a row at any point in December?
Yes.
All right.
I do. I still believe in the team. I just think that they need to get healthier and they need to fix their defense and hopefully never play some of these bench guys ever again.
Yeah, clock is starting to tick, though, is all I'm saying.
It is starting to tick a little bit, yeah.
Definitely. Like, we are pretty deep into the season.
Well, I mean, they're just in an extended funk right now.
Yeah. Yeah. They need to turn around. They need their guys back, but we'll see. Next player, I want to talk about Pascal Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned in your 10 things everybody should read, we'll lose 10 things at Sportsnet, that Pascal has settled in as the number two option.
Yep.
And you're starting to see more things that you like on the offensive end, like the mid-range game?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that he's going to need to do is create for himself. I think the mid-range area is an area that he can get some decent offense out of. The thing is, I do like seeing him drive downhill more than I want to see him go one-on-one in the mid-range area, only because if you're only mostly going one-on-one in the mid-range area, a lot of teams aren't going to double you there, and there's not as much play creation opportunity for other guys. But even having said that, I mean, Pascal's done as well as you can expect offensively from him. I think I have measured expectations in terms of what I expect to see from Pascal on the offensive end, because we have seen him being limited on that front. So if you expect more than sort of what he's doing right now, and his true shooting is close to 60 since coming back, I think the volume scoring probably can get a little bit higher. But he's not really forcing his shots. He's not necessarily, like, killing the offense, you know, and insisting on doing what he does. He's done okay on that front. There's really just a defense. I think I need to see a lot more from him. And so for that reason, I'm going to give Pascal like a B.
Yeah. I almost feel like
you
could even give him an incomplete. I mean, I guess he's been back for a little bit now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no,
how many games are you going to give for the, he came back from the shoulder surgery?
2 years.
2 years. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Probably another month.
Okay.
No, but Pascal yesterday, 38 minutes. I'm just laughing at these minutes totals for the starters.
Yeah, Nick is...
Can we just have one night when the starters play like 32, which it feels pretty low, but is also like an average?
How many NBA games do you think you can win if Isaac Monga plays 20 minutes?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Let me ask
questions. We're about to find out.
Yeah. Let me ask the questions. Because when you ask the questions, it gets real dark.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Pascal, we're giving him a B. The thing I always see with like... Because Pascal, obviously, we've mentioned, is the most, like, toxic person in terms of, like, how Raptors fans
he's
discuss.
Not toxic at
no,
all.
No, he's not toxic.
He's actually a very genuine
guy. I mean from a conversation standpoint,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like, exactly. Like, he drives the most extreme conversations. The one thing I always see, sometimes I go in your mentions to see what the diehard basketball fans are saying.
Man.
And a lot... The one thing I don't like is when people are just like, it's not good enough because he's making the max. Which, I don't know. Maybe we'll parse that another time. You don't want to talk about that right now?
I mean, it is what it is, man. He makes what he makes.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So, anyways, Malachi Flynn playing for his life on the court. Good showing yesterday. Decent showing.
Yeah, decent. He's playing scrappy. I like that.
Yeah.
Block Tatum. I would say, Tatum on the season? I mean, Flynn on the season?
This guy's ready to turn this into a Celtics podcast. No more Raptors.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say a C-. Maybe, yeah, C minus. That's generous too.
Yeah.
Come on. He was out of the rotation at the start of the year. Going D+. D+.
Damn.
D+ by Rising.
Okay.
Yeah. Lots of room to improve. And he's
D
showing.
D+ and Rising. What is this,
right?
Me and you in grade 10?
Yeah, B plus and rising.
I love at the home games whenever Malachi scores a basket, how overly excited Herbie gets.
Yeah.
Like, you're just really happy. Everyone's just really happy for Malachi.
As I asked you before the game, because every player has a drop after they score, you know, like Fred scores and they go, yeah, but Abdu, right? What is Malachi's drop?
I legit don't know. You said it should just be let's go Raptors?
Or it should be defense. That's what it should be. Anyway.
Nah, shouts to Malachi, and he might be getting more minutes because another news item yesterday, the team announced that Goran Dragic is taking a leave of absence from the team to manage a personal matter.
Uh-huh.
The official team statement said, quote, he has been a complete professional in the time that he has been with the Raptors. Goran has been a great mentor to our young players and a valued teammate for our veterans. He will continue to work out and stay in shape during his time away. There is no definite timeline for this process, and we will advise updates as appropriate. Goran has the backing of Masai, Nick, and the entire organization, and we wish him nothing but the best. First of all, like, before the basketball stuff, obviously I hope, you know, whatever personal matter he's attending to, that everything is okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think good gesture by the Raptors, because I think, you know, I mean, the Goran situation, since he's been traded here, I think there's just been an understanding on both sides that this wasn't going to be a long-term relationship, that things were going to get worked out. And you never want to kind of treat a player a certain way just because maybe they have intentions of being somewhere else. But so Goran's off the roster for now, and we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. So he's played as many games for the Raptors as Peja Stojakovic did. Remember Peja?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough. I feel like the Raptors have had a disproportionate number of these scenarios, like Lonzo Mourning, or, you know, like, just guys coming here but not really being here.
Yeah.
You know?
Lonzo Mourning never came here. Kenny Anderson, when he was traded here, was rerouted right away in the Damon Stoudemire trade.
I thought we were past some of these days.
But this is different, though.
This is different. Yeah, I hope he's all right, man.
No, for sure.
I really do. I mean, I have nothing really against Goran, man. I think
he just didn't fit with the style that they wanted to play. He just didn't play. He didn't really play too well when he was starting at the start of the season.
Right? Yeah, that was the real issue. Because if he started a little stronger, maybe, who knows? I mean, he was in the starting lineup the first game of the season. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then he's just off the team.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting thing that you mentioned, too. I think on one of your reaction podcasts last week, or the 10 things, I just consume too much Will Lou content every day. I can't keep track. But Goran Dragic and Chris Boucher are two guys that, coming into the season, when you're talking about forming a second unit, you would expect those two to be contributors in some ways, right?
Yes.
And Goran hasn't contributed, and we've talked about Chris Boucher at length. You know, Nick, on Chris Boucher's DMP yesterday after the game, he said, quote, he's got to handle it like a pro.
He handle like a pro?
When he gets his chance, he's got to be a little more consistent. You're talking about Chris. Chris always sits at the very far end of the bench.
Yeah, yeah. He is the Far East movement.
But I think, I mean.
No, but okay, so let's describe it. He's sitting at the very end of the bench, like as close to the tunnel as possible, in between our players who don't even play. Like our guys who are undressed.
The injured guys who are,
You know, who did not dress for the game.
Yeah.
He's, I mean, look, I'm not going to try to, like, read his mind, but I think you could also see when someone's not in a good mood, someone's, like, not feeling it.
Yeah, but I want him to take it personally, but I want him to translate
that. What do you want him to take it personally? How about you contribute to the team?
But that's what I'm saying, though.
It's not about you.
I want him to take that, you know, whatever he's upset, you know, his anger and all of that, I want him to channel it into playing better on the court.
Okay, so you see Champagne, right? When he's sitting on the bench, is he angry? Is he sulking in the corner? You see Bonga, when he's on the bench, is he angry? Is he sulking in the corner? Those guys don't even make $7 million. Those guys are like, Champagne makes like a regular person salary.
No, I hear you.
He makes a civilian salary.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So wouldn't they have more reason to be upset? I'm sorry, but if you don't play well and you get 20 games to get out of it, I'm with Nick. This is what Nick said yesterday. Nick said, I know Bonga's going to be nothing, but at least I won't be disappointed with nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what he's been getting from Chris.
No, it's fair. It's fair. And Chris has contributed to all of these issues that we're talking about.
Well, I mean, he's been part of the reason why the bench has been poor, because you would expect him and Goran to be two main pieces of your bench, who last season were both rotation players, both pretty decent off the bench. Obviously, they didn't play together, right? But that's part of the reason, because those guys should be giving you like 20, maybe even 30 points off the bench between the two of them, and they just haven't done that this season. So it's disappointing. When we come back on their side, wow, I was really feeling good about this episode, you know, and you were like, all right, let's bring up some of the issues. So
what do you want me to do, man? Even I can't sugarcoat this first quarter of the season so far.
Okay, fair enough, I think that's a good spot for us to take a break. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you're listening to The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And now a message from our presenting sponsor. Discover the best eats of your neighborhood on DoorDash without leaving your home. So many options to choose from, and ordering is easy. For a limited time, you can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code THEFAN25. Fuel up for tip-off. Order today through the DoorDash app or DoorDash.com. DoorDash. Delicious. Delivered. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Welcome back to The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, William Liu, joined by producer and co-host Alex Wong. Alex, we're handing out grades at the quarter mark.
We're handing out grades, and you had this great idea yesterday. Once in a while, you have a great idea.
Okay.
And you hit the producer, me, with it.
Oh, okay.
We watch poker a lot. I think we've talked about this.
Way too much.
Way too much. Yeah. Before the game, before the show, during the show, after the show.
That's actually the only thing. If any SportsCenter execs are talking, first off, we love you. Second of all, can you please...
We love you.
We have to reschedule Poker After Dark or any of this other Tank Poker.
It's a World Poker Tour.
Yeah, the WPT. Right. Like get that on at between 2 and 3 so that we can watch it during the show.
This guy wants a simulcast?
No, I like watching some of the other programs, but that's my favorite one. That's probably better than
the other programs. Anyways, one of the things I've suggested is that we should put the whole card cams in the studio right here.
Okay.
So that we can actually play and they can record us going heads up. Because we played, so during the pandemic, and the pandemic is still ongoing.
Yes.
But during the first part of the pandemic, when we were all locked down, we organized weekly Saturday online poker games with me, you, and some of our media friends / real friends. And me and you, and shout to our guy Wes as well.
DF Wes.
Yeah, he's at a rival network, so we're not going to shout him out that hard.
Okay, fine.
But me and you cleaned up, you know? We were playing heads up a lot, and you got in my head because there's a little chat box in the online poker.
You
were talking so much trash to me, I had to mute the chat when we were going heads up.
Wow.
Because you were getting in my head.
That's fair.
And I had to Google, how do you win poker playing heads up?
And by the way, the background here is Alex used to really play high-stakes poker.
He used to read Doyle Brunson's books.
Yeah. So
I didn't really play high-stakes poker. Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, man. Keep some of these conversations off air.
By civilian standards, that's high-stakes for me.
Wow, but it's a civilian day. This is your second civilian. This guy said Justin Champagne makes a civilian salary.
He does. I don't know how else to say it. He does.
Man. But yeah, so your idea was to describe some of these Raptors players as poker hands.
Yes.
So maybe we'll do the grades and then you can slip in these poker hands thoughts as well. Okay, so let's go through. Okay, some of the players we already did in the first half. We graded Fred. We graded Scotty and we graded Pascal.
Yeah.
And Malachi as well. So what is Fred as a poker hand to you?
Fred is pretty solid. You're probably going to win a lot of the time. So like a pocket tens.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to give him at least like pocket queens or something.
No.
That's reserved for like superstars?
That's more for superstars. Maybe I'll give him pocket jacks even.
Okay, pocket jacks.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Pascal?
Pascal, at the moment, he's like an ace four.
Ace four, okay.
Offsuit.
Offsuit.
Defense is the four. Ace is the offense.
Each card represents one end of the floor.
Yeah, that's right.
That's ridiculous. Yep. He might see a four on the flop. Yeah, it depends.
You might make a straight. I don't know, but it's unlikely. Anyway.
Okay, I'm going to give Scotty Barnes a 9-10 suited.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, Scotty gets better as the game goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this running joke now is that he just, like, becomes the best player in the league for 5 minutes in the third quarter of every game, and he's usually a slow starter. So you need to see the flop first and the turn, and that hand might improve.
Yeah, I mean.
So he's a 9-10 suited for me.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, suited connectors, yep.
Malachi Flynn, deuce 8?
What is Malachi Flynn right now, man?
This is why we need
Jack,
Nick Nurse.
Like a jack 3? I don't know. That might be generous.
Here's my dream video content scenario. You and Nick Nurse.
Playing poker?
Sit down. Playing poker as well. Playing poker, smoking some cigars maybe. And on the screen is just game tape. Game film, like things that you've clipped about Malachi Flynn, about Chris Boucher, about Precious Achiuwa, and the two of you just break down the game film.
Why are you not there?
You gonna make me watch film?
No, play poker at least.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna play heads up with Nick. Come on,
I'll be the dealer.
No,
and you guys have to tip me.
No, he's tipping you in hats. Anyway,
I got to make some money out of this.
Okay, all right.
So that's play, then. That's my dream scenario. Okay, so some of these other players we haven't gotten to. Gary Trent Jr., what grade would you give Gary, and what is Gary as a poker hand?
Yeah, that's a tough one for me. Gary's like a 10 jack right now, offsuit, but you know, like a pretty decent hand. Like you'll probably go see a flop with that.
Let's make Gary an actual poker player. He's Phil Hellmuth to me, you know?
Really,
ultra confident. Just the ultra confidence.
Where's the meltdown element? That's the other part.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But how would you grade Gary's first quarter of the season?
I would say it's been pretty solid. I would say A-.
We said we weren't going to give any more A's.
No, but come on. Gary's been an A-.
Give him a B+.
No, he's A-. His defense has been really strong.
Sure.
I think maybe not as strong as the steals marks would suggest, but still like very strong. He's given the Raptors lots offensively, and they've needed that from him. They need that play creation. And yeah, there's real no complaints. I think when we saw what happens when he's out of the lineup. Well, first off, the Raptors only have two shooting guards, which is strange. This is what happens when you have 9 power forwards, because then you only have 2 shooting guards, 2 point guards, no centers. It's tough. Anyway.
Yeah, it's starting to remind me of last season. Anyways, Precious Achiuwa had a really nice run recently, struggled yesterday against Boston. How are you grading Precious? What is Precious Achiuwa as a poker hand?
Yeah, that's really tough, man. Because I think there's some times that you can win with Precious, but for the most part, it's a losing strategy.
So I think he's like a low pair, maybe like a pair of fours.
Yeah, that's right. Pocket fours, yeah.
Pocket fours. What are you grading Precious for the first quarter of the season?
I mean, he's been up and down. He's been up and down, so I would say he's a C+. Yeah.
Okay.
Like right in the middle. I think he's been good defensively. He's been very inconsistent offensively. And on the whole, though, I mean, I still like to see him develop. I see that he has skills, but, you know, there's also times where, you know, we saw that him trying to push the break the other game against the Celtics. And even Matt Dell on the broadcast was saying, whoa, and that was before he even turned it over.
When he was dribbling the full length of the floor?
Yeah, I think I said in the React pod that he looked like he was dribbling with 2 ping pong paddles. But yeah.
No, it does look that way. I think Precious is the exact kind of player when we talk about how many of these guys are going to be with the team when they're good again. He's like right on the line.
He's got to make some leaps. If he can, if the things he does well, if he can do that consistently, yes, he will be on the team.
Delano Banton.
That's tough, man. Delano is like, I don't know, man. He's also one of these like Jack 2 kind of players.
I was going to say Delano's just pocket aces because that's the he gets pocket aces ovations at Scotiabank Arena.
Yeah, I was going to say people, it's really fun to play. Like Jack 2 is not fun to play. So maybe, I don't know, what's a fun hand to play? But he's like, I guess he's also like Scotty in that he's also a suited connectors, but it's like a suited 4-5.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
Delano, I think he's obviously slowed down. You know, he came in and, you know, exceeded all expectations to start. Yeah. Yesterday he played 3 minutes.
Yeah, they really needed a shooting out there yesterday.
Yes.
So.
I think it's time for Delano to spend some time with the 905. Just develop, get your 30, 35 minutes a game. Be the Fred VanVleet of Mississauga. 40 minutes a night.
I mean, I guess it would make sense. But then again, there's minutes available on the Raptors right now. So,
well, the problem is they
might not even need to take the my way.
They need guys. Like, I actually don't know if they can send Delano down.
Yes.
Man, grading this stuff got you down bad. I can see it in your eyes right now.
I was really ready to be positive. I was having sushi for lunch.
You should have told me.
It was good. It's good stuff, but
we can do positive too.
Well, we were doing poker hands at school, actually. I'm kind of enjoying this.
Utah Watanabe. He's got to be pocket threes because he averages 3-3.
He's 3-3.
He's the best 3-3 player. You got 3-D players and you got 3-3 players. And Utah Watanabe is the best 3-3 player. And
that's
I don't
right.
even
that's,
say that.
That's right.
No, I don't even say that as a joke.
Uh-huh.
We were laughing last week because, you know, shouts to Maria and the Sportsnet team. You know, they'll clip certain things that we talk about for social.
Yeah.
And the one clip that they pulled was this really good discussion we had about Utah. And the quote was, Utah can score 0 points and still have impact on the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true.
It is true. It is true.
But
and it's also true that he scores 3 points and he's done for the game.
No, look up Utah's career stats. He literally averages 3-3 every season.
Yeah. No, he's pocket threes. And if you hit a three on the flop, then you can continue playing that. Otherwise, you're probably folding at some point.
Utah officially Nick Nurse's T teacher's pet, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Another challenge yesterday, very early in the game. This was like his second possession in the game, I think.
It was a good stop on Jaylen Brown, though. So I think that's good. I mean, I think Nick is trying to use it for players who he knows will consistently defend. And he knows what Utah is. Just like you know what a pocket threes is. If you're in the hand against like four other guys, you're probably not going to win that hand. But if you're heads up with pocket threes, you can have a 50-50 chance of winning that.
This segment got to be sponsored, man.
Yeah. Please, we're begging at this point.
Well, I'm actually begging. Please install these whole
Can I be Matt Sundin flipping the phone with a stick?
You know I'll wear 9 like Poker Stars patches.
Easily.
I'm wearing it right now.
Send the patches, actually.
Yeah, just send the patches. We're going to leave Chris Boucher out of this. You already talked about Chris, okay? We don't need any more drama. Svi Mihailuk.
Yeah, Svi's...
Svi's actually Phil Hellmuth.
What is Svi, man?
Svi almost pulled off a really great alley-oop yesterday. Remember that one? You were getting excited about it.
Yeah, I was getting real hype. He's like a 9-3 suited. 9-3 suited.
These cards are disgusting.
But not a hand that you're going to consistently play.
Straight into the muck.
If you're the big blind, you'll play that. If you're the small blind and nobody else is in, yeah, you might call, but that's it.
Apologies to anyone who's never played poker or gambled.
I mean,
it's a gambling friendly. This is a Utah friendly program. It's a gambling friendly program. Mm-hmm. It's an Asian reference friendly program.
Yeah.
What else, man? Otherwise, we're not that friendly. You're not that friendly.
I'm pretty friendly to Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody who comes on the podcast, we're friendly to them.
It's just like that?
Yes.
Okay.
We're easy.
I didn't know that, but all right, I'll ride along. Who else? Let's see. Lastly, I'm not going to do all the players, but...
What about Kem?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Kem.
Yeah.
And maybe that just speaks to...
That's Kem is a Kem very solid there. Pocket sixes.
Pocket eights. Let's give him pocket
eights.
Okay, yeah, let's give him pocket eights. Okay. The fact that I forgot about Kem actually just says everything.
Yeah.
Because he's... I mean, it's not a bad thing.
No, pocket eights,
very,
you know,
under the radar.
I like pocket eights because you're going to see the flop every time with pocket eights.
Yeah.
But it's also something where if you're also willing to fold on that.
I wish I knew Photoshop and all that. I want to do a whole graphic of them sitting at the table with the hands that they're represented.
Ooh, I love that. That's a great idea.
That's a challenge to illustrators out there.
Do that myself.
Don't do free work.
If I have half an hour, I'll make this graphic for 10 likes.
Lastly, Nick Nurse.
Man, what's Nick Nurse? So he likes to gamble a lot. I mean, it feels just weird to give Nick Nurse cards because he's more like the player.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's more like a poker player than he is the cards himself. He's not actually, you know, he is playing the cards.
Okay.
So we got to change it up. Yeah. So what poker player is Nick Nurse?
Tell me, is Phil Ivey right now?
No, he's like a Daniel Negreanu type.
Yeah. He's a Haralabob Vulgaris.
No. he's like a Negreanu type. Like, kind of plays with feel, kind of plays with instinct.
What are we grading Nick Nurse for first quarter of the season?
B minus.
Ooh, you almost gave a C.
Yeah, I gave him a B minus because he benched Boucher yesterday, so that bumped it up from a C plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the things though in terms of Nick so far that you've been happy with, or maybe you've questioned?
I think offensively they've been much stronger than anticipated. I think last night obviously they were bad, but on the whole this season they've been top 10 offensively. That's been a nice surprise. The thing is defensively, they have just been so bad, and that's your identity. That's the bedrock of what you do is defense, and that's where Nick hasn't really been able to find the combinations or the schemes really to make the guys perform at a level that has, you know, given them a chance to even compete in some of these games. So I think the defense has to be better. I like the road record. I don't know why they're so bad at home. 2-7, they might be one of the worst teams in the league at home. I mean, there are certain teams that just don't win, period. But for the most part, the Raptors being 2-7 at home is – like, really disappointing because they're actually holding up their end of the bargain on the road. Hopefully that turns around here on this homestand. But, you know, otherwise I like what Nick is doing. I think obviously he's extending the minutes for the starters, but given how bad the bench is, that is something that almost needs to be done. However, at the same time, you know, I do also see this pattern where Nick has struggled to manage benches, even dating back to the championship season, because there were guys who were underperforming off the bench in that season as well. OG was struggling off the bench. Fred was not doing the greatest off the bench in that season. Of course, that changed in the playoffs. But, you know, it's not like the Raptors have had these, like, tremendously strong benches the last few seasons. So I want to see the second unit improve. But that's also something that has to do with the front office as well, you know?
No, for sure. Yeah. Like, you can only play the cards that you're dealt.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
So Nick Nurse, he's kid basketball.
So they got 6 games left on this homestand.
Yeah.
Memphis, Milwaukee, Washington, OKC, New York, and Sacramento. If they go 5-1, which I know seems wildly unrealistic given how they're playing right now, if they go 5-1, they'll be one game over 500.
I'll take that.
They need to get back to 500 if you want to have a conversation about what you're going to do this season.
Fine, 5-1. I mean, they need some other guys to get healthy, though.
It's about to be 5-0 after tomorrow.
No, they better beat Memphis, man. Come on, John Morant's out. I know they won last night, but they should win that one.
Yeah, but even when we're sitting there with the Celtics game last night, in the first half, you're saying,
this is a winnable game.
A winnable game. And I keep telling you, there's been a lot of winnable games.
Yeah.
But when the final buzzer sounds, it's a 111 to a 101 for the other team.
Turns out every team playing the Raptors is saying, that's a winnable game. So that's a problem. Anyway.
That is a problem. Anyways, all right, self-serving hour. So yesterday you participated in the Raptors Republic 3-on-3 tournament.
Yep.
And the over-under that we set, because you've been spending months working on your
literally
game,
months.
Across the country.
Yeah, I mean,
saw clips from Quebec City.
Yeah, I was in Quebec.
Montreal. Were you in none of it? Newfoundland?
I was not.
Winnipeg?
I was just
Calgary,
in Quebec and Ontario.
Vancouver? Okay, Toronto. We shot last week as well. We got some shots up.
Yep.
You know, I trained you.
Yep.
Over-under was 4.5 total baskets.
Mm-hmm.
You got to 4.
Yeah.
Like I said, you outscored Utah Watanabe yesterday. You had 4 points. Utah had 3.
By the way, we should specify that this is over 4 games played.
Over 4 games played.
Yeah.
You know, people have seen the footage if you go on Twitter. You know, you've seen the nice floater from Will. So what are your general takeaways yourself?
Actually, you know, I felt okay because as you saw in the warm-ups and stuff, it wasn't like I couldn't knock down shots. Like, I was still knocking down shots and stuff. The thing is, like, we had a very talented team. And I made that on purpose, right? Like, we had a guy who was 6'7", who could really play in the post. So he was the primary focus of the offense. Assad is a really good shooter. He's also just a really good primary scorer as well. You can put him in the post. He got a great bank shot. And then Drew, the other guy, is just a phenomenal shooter. So, like, for me, my role is mostly to screen and then, like, slip to the rim. Or just like not even set the screen and just creep in for a little weak side, you know, cuts and layups and stuff like that. And on most of those I made. I mean, one of those I got blocked, which was unfortunate. And the guy did say, get that, you know, blank out of here, which I did feel a little emasculated. But otherwise, you know, I thought I played my role decently. I think I might have shot close to 50%, which is it's pretty good. And I wasn't, you know, trying to scream foul every single time I drove the ball. So.
Yeah, that's because my camera was on you the entire time. I'm sifting through 3 hours of footage right now. More footage to come. We've got your teammate, Assad
Alvi,
on the line with us right now. Assad, you guys finished got knocked out in the quarterfinals yesterday in a game that, so it's a 3-on-3 and there's 4 players on each team, and Will is usually the fourth man of the year.
Not usually, always.
Yeah, he's the fourth man of the year. He DMP'd in the quarterfinals, and I was asking Will, don't you want to check in? And he said, hey man, they need scoring right now, and that's not what I bring. It was a very unselfish move. Assad, how would you grade Will's performance yesterday?
I thought we'll perform, you know, he served his role, I guess is what you can say.
Come on,
nicely enough.
This is the Will Lou slander pod.
Yeah, I know what this was.
He provided for the meal after the tournament.
Shouts to Cluck
Clucks. Exactly what you need.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Guys, hey man, you know? I even paid for your parking, bro.
Yeah, he paid for the parking. So that was great. But Assad, I did notice while watching, there were several plays where you were screaming at Will to cut to the basket because he wasn't really moving off the ball. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm not saying that this would have happened, but I'm just saying if Chris Boucher was watching the game, he'd be posting a lot of clips with no captions to Twitter.
That's fair.
Like Will Lou getting back cut for a layup and then kicking the ball 10 feet into the air for a technical foul.
Oh, yes. We didn't even get to that. So Will Lou picked up, I believe it was the first technical foul in Raptors Republic 3.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have never seen another tech in that whole
tournament. So it was in the middle of a game that you guys were winning during the round robin.
Against the score.
Yeah, and the ball was under the basket after a play, and Will decided to play footy and just booted the ball to midcourt and picked up a technical.
Three great touches.
Yeah.
First touch on my right, second touch off my knee on my left, and then the third touch was the kick over the... You know, over my head.
And then you got a technical.
To be fair, I did kick it past half court.
Yeah. What made you do that?
I'm not going to say the refs was bad, but the ref was bad. This was the kind of ref it was, okay? Someone drove inside, finished a layup through contact, and yelled and one, which is like every single basketball player ever has done that. And the ref was like, don't make the calls for me. What? You're not going to let people call and say and one in a... Get out of here.
Yeah, as social media coordinator and head coach of your team yesterday, I was in the ref's ear. You know, I kept saying...
You were about to pick up a tag.
I kept saying lots of contact.
That was the funniest
lots of
thing.
Contact down low on Lou. And to no avail. But Assad, what letter grade would you give Will for his overall performance from on the court to paying for our meal and paying for parking?
Well, I would say, like, up until the end of the tournament, he was probably at, like, a B-minus, a B. I think he served his role more or less. Then afterwards, I think it brought him up to an A-minus. He paid for the meal, like, very efficiently.
So he paid
those six people, by the way, eating. You know,
he paid his way into an A on the report card, is what you're saying.
I'm very happy with that.
100%. Will did his job. I will say, though, like...
I was way worse in previous tournaments, Assad. You know that.
Alex did a great job coaching.
Oh,
this year, honestly, like we did lose a round robin game, and yes, it was because Alex let, like Nick Nurse, let the bench play a little bit too long. But that happens sometimes. The offense stalled out, but not all honesty though. Will played great this season, this tournament. He had four buckets. I don't think that's double what he's had in all other tournaments combined. So it was great. We tried to get him that fifth bucket, but Will was just too unselfish. Didn't want to take the unsportsmanlike shot at the end of a blowout, so it is what it is.
Yeah, well, you know, look, I'm here for screen assists on and off the floor.
No, you had several nice screen assists, but, you know, I know people actually really care about this Will Lou performance, so we wanted to give, 5 minutes on the show for this.
But the thing is, look, as I told multiple people multiple times at the game, I'm Masai. My job for that team is Masai. I put the team together. I get the best players I know. And then I'm done. I'm chilling. Like, yeah, I score 4 points, but my role is to be the GM. Like, when you come to the Raptors, you don't come to see Masai. You come to see Kawhi. And we had three Kawhis on our team. Somehow we didn't win. But
no, you definitely
it's all good, though. You know, Assad, obviously, with the bank shot, was looking real smooth with it. Drew, as I mentioned, you know, just a lethal left-handed shooter. And then Vlad in the middle was wild, bro. First game, he had, like, What do you think? I mean, you know.
No, he crushed it. I was
ridiculous. He was dunking during warm-ups. I was so excited.
For a bookie, man. I wanted to bet you guys money line once I saw him dunk in the warm-up line. But I wanted to ask you one last thing, Assad. You know, I saw there was one person on Twitter that said he can't trust Will Lou's basketball analysis now that he's seen Will Lou play basketball. What do you think about that?
I say, honestly, like,
no comment.
Oh wow.
No comment. No,
this is somewhat more devastating than actual slander.
On point. It's just if you can't play, you coach. You know, that's how it is. You know.
Exactly.
So it is what it is.
If you can't
Will's
coach,
got a great
GM.
Mind for it. He just doesn't. He's a soccer player at the end of the day, right? Like, you can't expect him to play basketball out here.
This is Nick talking about Chris, man. This is insane. All right, Assad, appreciate you as always. Can't wait to hear you on an upcoming Raptors Reaction podcast.
Yep. All right. Take care, guys.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think our producer, Derek, asked last week, too, was like, did the fact that you cover basketball make you feel like you need to be, like, decent at playing basketball?
I mean, obviously.
All media members are not good at basketball, except for the media members who are former players.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So, but I mean, I think it gives you a totally different perspective. But I mean, I think even some small things, like just how you move physically, like, just like the sort of the awareness, the sort of like the emotions in the game, like, obviously it's a different scale, but you should at least know some of it.
So you're saying next time I should bring a package of plays for you guys? We'll run the Spain pick and roll?
How can I run Spain pick and roll with three players?
I'll figure it out. It's gonna be the Sam Wu pick and roll.
It's just gonna be.
When you got cooked, there was one play where you got cooked. Did you hear me call you Sam Wu barbecue chicken?
Oh no, I didn't. But that's tough.
And that's it. That's the last time we're ever talking about Will's basketball performance. We're retiring that conversation.
Yeah, you're right, man. If I couldn't score more than 4 points, we shouldn't talk about it. So that does it for us today. I'm your host, Will Lou, and you've been listening to The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Make sure you find The Raptor Show wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, and please rate and review our show. Thanks again to my producer and co-host, Alex Wong, and we will talk to you tomorrow. And finally, a message from our presenting sponsor. Discover the best eats of your neighborhood on DoorDash without leaving your home. So many options to choose from, and ordering is easy. For a limited time, you can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code THEFAN25. Fuel up for tip-off, order today through the DoorDash app or DoorDash.com. DoorDash, delicious, delivered. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.